Welcome. It's November 22nd, 2023, and the time is 21:10 hours Eastern Standard Time. Ward Green with you. Yes, we're beginning our study for today from the Born and Raised article, chapter 12, paragraph 4. But the website, willofjehovah.com, something's recently been changed without my knowledge. So the JW box directory was not accessible today, I noticed. I hadn't been checking it other days. It's no longer possible, I understand, probably to access other directories on the site, but I haven't checked it thoroughly yet. So the directory access might be broken or changed, which is typical of many websites, and I'm not sure why it happened, but perhaps they transferred the website to a different server or something, and that's why it's got a different set of permissions. I'm not sure what happened. So I'll have to consider a workaround for that. So we'll have to figure out how to get the videos published for today, for example. I'll have to do something different. And I'll have to try to get the other videos from the other days to make them accessible, if possible. I'm not sure what the reason is yet, but it's getting late, so I think we better make the video for today. We talked about the chronology yesterday. It was fascinating because in the days of the birth of Jesus and John the Baptist, we had this this PDF file that, or this table that showed that at the destruction of the temple, Jehoiarib was presiding, and there were 24 divisions that presided consecutively, and then they cycled back to Jehoiarib again, and he was the one presiding at the destruction. Av 9 was the Sabbath in that year, right? And then we also have in the year of the birth of Christ, we were looking at what day was Nisan 1, or when was the Passover, Nisan 14 to 21. It was right here, the Nisan 21, according to CGSF, anyway. And it depends when you take to be, which day you take to be Nisan 1. It's critical, you know, but for today's study here, I noticed there's a mistake in the paragraph, but it's actually not significant as long as we take, it doesn't affect anything. Okay, with Nisan first as March 24th, that's assuming if first visibility is March 24th, that means Nisan 1 is essentially March 25th. But if the way we've written it here with Nisan 1 is March 24th, that's okay, but that would imply first visibility on the 23rd, which we didn't actually find from our source, which is Gauchy. But anyway, I can correct this later. I'll make a note of it after this video. With Nisan 1 is March 24th in 30 CE, this is at the time of the crucifixion. We're trying to determine what day was the crucifixion, all right? Which would be somewhere after the Passover of 30 CE. Very soon, right? After the Passover, or after the meal that Jesus ate. Soon after that, he was crucified, and that was the Passover meal. So March 31st, 7 days after the 24th, is Nisan 8. And Nisan 13 is 5 days after that, which is 5 days after March 31st, is April 5th. For the Mosaic Law and the Sadducees, Passover evening began at the end of Nisan 13. That's the Sadducees, right? And the Mosaic Law would be consistent with that. And Passover Sabbath would be the daytime, or I should say the whole day which began at the end of Nisan 13, the evening. that day of Nisan 14 was the Sabbath day called the Passover Sabbath, right? That would be not a Saturday, but a Sabbath day, a festival day of the Passover, which in 30 CE was Thursday, April 6th, based on the April 5th being the end of Nisan 13 falling on April 5th, okay? Not the beginning of Nisan 13, but the end of it. So, I mean, the way I wrote this, I'm not sure what I was in. I am sure that I made a mistake here. But it's not consequential if we use March 23rd. And as first visibility, and March 24th as the day itself, which we can get in 30 CE. If we go here, let's see, where is it? Do we have it here? Where's 30? Oh, I meant to get it here. Okay. We had 30 in one of these. I believe I did. Let's just put in 30. Maybe I forgot to put it in. In 30 CE, here we go. Nisan 1 would be... Now, this is the crucifixion, not the birth, but it's... Nisan 1 is the 23 from the right here. 23rd. Right, not the 24th, it's the 23rd. So, Nisan 1 is the 23rd. Okay, right. Yeah, sometimes it's different by 2 days. That's right. So, that's interesting. Nisan 1 is the 23rd in that calendar, but we're saying it's the 24th. But it's actually the 25th in our chronology. So, because of Gauchi saying that the 24th was on the evening of the 24th was the first sighting of the moon, actually, we'd be 2 days different. But so we're in the middle of what CGSF has and what Gauchi would have given us. So it's perfectly reasonable to be in that alignment, okay? There's nothing unreasonable there. But anyway, we don't know any of these things 100%. But so it's all about doing the best we can. And the Pharisees began Passover 1 day later than April 5th. See, you have to realize nobody knows it as well as we do. No one is as close to the truth as we are. But nobody's actually on the truth for everything. The Pharisees began Passover 1 day later, okay, than April 5th. And they began it at the start of Friday, Nisan 15, okay. The start of Friday, Nisan 15, but the start would be the evening, right? But in other words, the end of Thursday, the 6th, they began their Passover meal. For the Jews, the sunset of one day began the next one. Now, the Pharisees thought that it was meant to be very precise, for they used the moment of total sunset. And the Sadducees used total darkness, or dusk, as their endpoint for the day, which led to the one-day difference in the concept of the phrase, quote, between the two evenings, end quote. Between the two evenings was the original wording in the Hebrew Bible text about this observance of Passover in Exodus chapter 12. Since the Pharisees saw the end of the day, also known as the second evening, which had marked the end of the day, in other words, it's the first evening is something like, you know, the very beginning of the end of the day. It's not quite the end yet. And the second evening is the end of the day. At the exact moment when the sun vanished completely is when the Pharisees saw that. So they took it as the first evening when the sun began to set, second evening when the sun disappeared. Right? And the first evening is the time when the sun first touched the horizon. The meaning of between the two evenings to them was the end of the day. On the other hand, since the Sadducees were based more on scripture, they saw the first evening as sunset and also the end of the day, and the second evening as dusk, okay, which is already part of the next day. So between the two evenings to the Sadducees was the start of a day, not the end of a day. So Nisan 14, between the two evenings, came at the end of Nisan 14 for the Pharisees, and it came at the start of Nisan, the start of Nisan 14, or the end of Nisan 13 for the Sadducees, so it differed by one day. Passover was a holy day to both sects, and the Passover took place Nisan 14 or Nisan 15, depending on the sect. Okay, today's proverb is not from Proverbs, it's from Song of Solomon, little children. It's Song of Solomon 8, verse 4. I have put you under oath, O daughters of Jerusalem, that you try not to awaken or arouse love in me until it feels inclined. The book of Song of Solomon, or Canticles, written by Solomon. So our reading for today from 1 Samuel 22, if we look now from Clark's commentary, David flees to the cave of Adullam, where he's joined by 400 men of various descriptions. He goes afterwards to Moab, and by the advice of the prophet Gad, to the forest of Hareth. Saul, suspecting his servants of infidelity, upbraids them. Doeg, that means he chastises, you know, he reproves them. You know, he tells them they've been doing bad things. And Doeg informs Saul of David's coming to Nob, of his being entertained by Ahimelech, on which Saul slays Ahimelech and all the priests to the number of 85 and destroys the city of Nob. Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, only escapes. He joins with David, by whom he is assured of protection. Abiathar is either the son of, he's called the son of Ahitub, but he's also called the son of Ahimelech. And Ahimelech is called the son of Ahitub by Saul in this same chapter here. So the son of Ahitub, and Ahitub is the son of, who's he the son of? Is he the next son? After Phinehas, is it? Who are the two sons of Eli? Hophni and Phinehas, yeah. So Phinehas had a son, right? Let's look up, well, we just have to look up the name of Ahitub, and we can find it. But, I mean, we can't do anything in a short period of time. It takes days and days to do research. Zadok, the son of Ahitub, right? And Ahimelech, the son of Abiathar. That's a different, that's later in Samuel. Now, Ahijah, the son of, was the son of Ahitub. Right. That looks like it. Ahijah, the son of Ahitub, the brother of Ichabod, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the priest, was carrying the ephod. Right, so Ahimelech was also the son of Ahitub, but he could have been the son of Ahijah, or the grandson of Ahitub also. But Ahimelech's son was named Abiathar, and then we could have Abiathar, and then Ahimelech is one, Ahijah two, Ahitub three, Phinehas four, and Eli five generations, possibly, from 1230. If a generation is 30 years, five generations, let's say four generations, just assuming that there's no extra generation in there, since Ahijah wasn't mentioned in this chapter of Samuel 22, but we're going to have to look at it to make sure we point that out. Okay, well, okay. It would be Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, but Abiathar, Ahimelech, one, Ahitub, two, Phinehas, three, and Eli, four generations, was 120 years at 30 years per generation. 120, even we could say 130 from 1230, is 1100. He'd be born in 1100, which is means he's at the time of David's kingship, 42 years later, he'd be 42 years old. So there's nothing wrong with any of that. And David's not yet king. And this priest would have to be at least 30 years old, though. He has to be at least 30 years old at the time to be a priest, if he's going to be actually a priest at that time. Okay, so David escaped to the cave of Adullam. So David proceeded to go from there and escape to the cave of Adullam, right? But we're going to go down here, and we're not going to read it all. That's something, we just don't have time to do it. If we're going to talk about it, we can't read it. The king sent to call Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, the priest. And he said, listen, in verse 12, you son of Ahitub. So apparently he's the son of Ahitub, not the son of Ahijah, but he could be the grandson of Ahitub and the son of Ahijah, which would be five generations. That'll be 150 years, or if there are 25-year generations, 125 years, which is still 1105 birth, still around the right time to be. So in 30 years later, 1075, David is 13 years old at that time, and he'd be 30 years old. So Abiathar could be five generations after with a 25-year generation, but it's not, that's not a typical length of a generation. If it's four generations and 30, it's the same thing. He's 30 years old when in 1070, 1100 minus 30, he's 30 years old, which would be 1070. I mean, we have to do all of these calculations all the time. That's what I'm pointing out. We can't do it all in one study, but these calculations of how many generations and whether it all fits and how it works, they all have to be done all the time. But Ahimelech didn't suspect David of anything. He said, you know, is it today that I've started to inquire of God for David? He would have known David for quite some time already, because David was a servant of the king Saul. So he didn't know anything about David. Not a small thing nor a great thing regarding David and his dispute that Saul had with David. But the king said, you will positively die, Ahimelech, instead. Even though Ahimelech didn't have any guilt, apparently, he was still killed with all of these other priests, and there were 85 of them. 85 men bearing an ephod of linen. Verse 18, who were put to death by Doeg, the Edomite. And one son, Abiathar, escaped. And so we know from the generations of what date we have for the birth of Eli in 1230 BCE, we can calculate Abiathar could have been born soon enough to have been already 30 years old, actually. I don't know that we need to know that yet. I mean, I don't know whether we need to know he was a priest or whether if they say he was a priest, acting as a priest, that's when we have to know he's 30 years old. But because they began to be priests at the age of 30. But anyway, you see how all these things have to fit together, and if they don't fit, we have to change our understanding. We have to reevaluate. Jeremiah 26, but we don't need to reevaluate. It looks like it's fine right now. In the beginning of the royal rule of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, that's Jehoiakim, who ruled from about, we said, 608, right? And so this is important because it says in the beginning of his rule, which is exactly the time, the beginning of the times of the Gentiles in our chronology is 608. It's the same time. A very important statement about chronology made right there. This is what Jehovah has said, verse 2. This word occurred from Jehovah saying, stand in the courtyard of the house of Jehovah, and you must speak concerning all the cities of Judah that are coming in to bow down at the house of Jehovah. Concerning all those cities of Judah. Right? All the words that I will command you to speak to them, do not take away a word. Okay. I want to look at this. I want to look at the commentary. We're going to look at the commentary because we don't have time to get to gain an understanding from reading it. We need to look at the commentary and understand it. I've read it already. I know what it means. It's talking about judgment against all the nations, including Israel. So we'll see what Clark says. This chapter contains a summary of the judgments denounced by Jeremiah. Yeah, denounced by Jeremiah against Judah, Babylon, and many other nations. It begins with reproving the Jews for disobeying the calls of God to repentance, on which account their captivity with that of her neighboring nations during 70 years is foretold. Also, the neighboring nations are supposed to be. Let's read it now. Let's check to see whether we can see that part about the 70 years. Where does it mention 70 years in this chapter? I read it in a different book. I didn't read it on this page, and I don't know where to find it. I read it in a text, hard copy, today, and I don't have the hard copy in front of me. Let's see. Is there 70 years? Can we text search that? 26. Well, let's just do a text search right now. 70 years. No, nothing is guaranteed to work, right? Nothing's guaranteed to work. Lots of things don't work every time. 29, 25. No, it doesn't. I don't see 70 years mentioned there in that chapter. Jeremiah 26 is what we're looking at. I don't see any mention of 70 years there. They're going to be brought into captivity. Okay. It's captivity, right? Yeah. Okay. We're looking at the reference Bible version, right? Okay. By listening to the words of my servants, the prophets. See, that's why we need to read it all the way through, right? Let's just skim read it here. Do not take away a word. Perhaps they will listen and return each one his bad way, you know. You must say to them, this is Jehovah's said, if you will not listen to me by walking my law, I will in turn make this house like that in Shiloh, right? Okay. And the city I shall make a malediction to all the nations of the earth. And the priests, the prophets, and all the people began to hear Jeremiah. And they said, of course, they didn't like it. They said, you will positively die. You spoke against this city, right? Okay. Then they said, so the princes came and gathered at the gate of the city to decide what to do. The priests and the prophets said about Jeremiah that he should be put to death. Jeremiah said, it was Jehovah that sent me, verse 12. Jehovah sent me, he said in verse 12. Okay, so, in verse 14, do whatever you want to me. Do whatever you think is right. But, you should know that I'm innocent in verse 15, he says. I'm not guilty of anything. And then the princes and all the people said to the priests and to the prophets, there's no judgment of death belonging to to Jeremiah because he spoke in the name of Jehovah. Verse 16, that's what that was. Okay. Then the older men said, well, there was a guy called Prophet Micah, that is, of Moresheth, and he was prophesying in the days of Hezekiah, and Hezekiah didn't put him to death, even though he'd spoken of things, bad things happening to Jerusalem. Right? And then the older men also said there was a man called Urijah, in the son of Shemaiah, from Kiriath Jearim, in the days in the days of King Jehoiakim, verse 20 and 21, right? And they sought to seek to put him to death. Urijah fled to Egypt, and then Jehoiakim sent men to Egypt and brought him back, and they put him to death. So those were the two cases. In one case, they put the man to death. The other case, they didn't. I mean, Hezekiah did not, but Jehoiakim did put the prophet to death. Moreover, it was the hand of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, that proved to be with Jeremiah in order not to give him into the hand of the people to have him put to death. Okay. So when we were reading about, this is not really talking about the nations. It was the previous chapter. I think we will find. Right. He's not talking about He's not saying a lot about the other nations here. No, he's not. But if we look back, I think it must have been chapter 25, but I'm just seeing here. Well, he mentions he's going to send in 25 and 9 to Nebuchadnezzar, right? But he would bring Nebuchadnezzar against this land of Judah and also against all these nations round about. So there was an issue about the other nations were included here, right? And these nations will have to serve the king of Babylon 70 years, it says there, right? But the Gentiles is what it says. They will have to serve the Gentiles 70 years. Okay, so 25, they will serve these nations, will have to serve the Gentiles. That's not the only translation of that. That's not the Septuagint translation. Pretty sure that's not what it says in the Septuagint. Is this Brenton? Yeah, Brenton. So let's look at Brenton, Jeremiah 25, just for a moment here. We need to see it, because I've forgotten what it says in Jeremiah 25 of Brenton, of that section. Okay. Jeremiah 25. Okay, here it is. They shall serve the Gentiles 70 years. Right. It says this land. It doesn't say, it's not including all the nations. It just says against this land. In other words, Judah. It's going to be made a desolation and Judah will serve the Gentiles 70 years. That's what it says. It's different. It's a different translation entirely. So we need to be aware of that, the difference between the Septuagint, which we prefer, because the disciples of Jesus, they use the Septuagint. So that's what we prefer also, the Septuagint. Now we're nearly done, but we have a little more time. We need to consider when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, right? After he was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. But Matthew 1, did we finish that? Well, the virgin will become pregnant was the prophecy, or the maiden. It didn't even, in the prophecy of Isaiah, it wasn't even clear that it would be a virgin, but it turned out it was a virgin. She was a virgin when she gave birth, Mary. And Joseph didn't have, he didn't have intercourse with her in Matthew 1:25. Until she gave birth. He didn't have any intercourse until she gave birth. So she was a virgin when she gave birth. Okay, so, and Joseph, the adoptive father of Jesus, the husband of Mary, who was Jesus' mother, he was given instruction in a dream from an angel that told him that his wife had been made pregnant by Holy Spirit. In verse 20. So that's why he didn't divorce her. Now Matthew chapter 2. Astrologers. Right. In the days of King Herod. Astrologers from eastern parts came to Jerusalem. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Saying, where's the one born king of the Jews? Okay. There's another interesting thing. We need to mention. I just want to mention it. Touch on it. Look. In this document. Right here, when we go back, it was calculated from 70 AD all the way back from the destruction of Jerusalem. These 24 priestly divisions, they cycle over and over again. Okay, and then when they counted back and they listed them all the way back just to find out who was presiding in 6 BCE, that's the date we're interested in, but Rick Lancer, who wrote this table also, he didn't believe the same as we do about that. He believed that John was born in 7 BCE and that Jesus was born in the spring of 6 BCE. And he's got his reasons. But in 6 BCE, in our case, we believe that Jesus was conceived in the spring of 6. We're going to have to do a lot more thinking about it too, I'm sure, because this, our final result might be able to be improved. But April 10th, we found, was either the last day of Passover, or it was the Sabbath after Passover ended. So in either case, there could have been a multitude right there when Zechariah began, or when he was beginning to serve at the temple, because he was of the division of Abijah on the left, in the left column, number 8, after Jehoiarib. Abijah would have been there, but we've shifted him down. He serves in the week that ends on the 17th. That's the way we're interpreting this table. And it seems to make good sense, because they serve from Sabbath to Sabbath inclusive. So all of that, that's another thing to mention there. So we have the 10th as his beginning of when he served there. And, of course, this is in the spring of... Now, Elizabeth was already pregnant. 5 months at this point is the way we've interpreted this, too. Because why would she conceal it? Why would they say that she'd concealed it? I mean, she concealed it for 5 months, right? But the idea is concealing it from people is really not much to mention, but concealing it from her husband, that's something else entirely. And that's only one way to interpret it. That's only one possible way. So that's the way I've interpreted it when I did an analysis of this. And it's not in the article. So let's come back to Matthew chapter 2. So these wise men, we need to look at the summaries, because we're not going to get to read it all. Wise men have come from the east to worship Christ. Herod wanted to, he was greatly troubled because he didn't want his authority to be defeated by the Messiah. He didn't want the Messiah to be allowed to live, because Herod wanted to be the one who got all the glory. So he made inquiry of the chief priests and scribes where the Christ should be born. They inform him of the prophecy relative to Bethlehem. The wise men going to Bethlehem are desired by Herod, this is Clark's commentary on Matthew chapter 2, to bring him word. They're told by Herod to bring him word when they found the child, pretending that he wished to do him homage. The wise men are directed by a star to the place where the young child lay, and we haven't figured out how they were directed by a star. We haven't determined that astronomically or anything. We could work on that too. But being warned, they give gifts to the young child, right? But being warned by God, of God, not to return to Herod, they depart into their own country another way. And Joseph and Mary are divinely warned to escape into Egypt because Herod sought to destroy Jesus. But this is already... Wait a minute now. Yeah. Yeah, they could have already been... They didn't... The child wasn't necessarily in the manger when they visited either. He could have been already... They could have already moved into another place. But, this is a very... there are a lot of things we don't know here, but Joseph and Mary are warned and they go to Egypt, okay? And then Herod dies and they come back. But they don't come back to Bethlehem, they come back to Nazareth, because the prophecy of the sprout. There was a prophecy, and Nazareth means sprout town. He would be from sprout town, and that's where Jesus lived and was raised, right? Was in Nazareth. But Herod dies, and we believe he died in the year 4 BCE, because Josephus gives some information about how many years of priests after the beginning of Herod's rule until the destruction, which we know how many years, 107 years of priests, and Josephus knew that number. And he also said how long Herod ruled for, 34 years. And so that fits with him dying and him ruling from 37 to BCE 4. BCE 37 to BCE 4, that fits perfectly. So we believe we know when Herod died, and there's a lot of reasons why it fits with the birth of Christ also. For example, in BCE 6, it fits perfectly. Everything fits in the chronology. That's all for today, though. We're a little over time. And I don't know how I'm going to publish this just yet. It might be on my main page, on the Will of Jehovah main page, I should say. It's November 22nd, 2023. The time is 21:45 hours Eastern Standard Time. I love you. I'm Ward Green. This is Crow. And this is Cassie. On my behalf, saying bye for now.